Blog Talk Radio.
Accident this morning where a reckless driver rear-ended a San Francisco police car. This will be up on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas. We had some problems today, but thank heaven radio people finally helped me get it resolved, and I had to mess around with some browsers. So we'll be back at 4 o'clock Wednesday. Hopefully it won't be excuse me, any problems with the browser. I'm still getting over this bronchial flu. Excuse me. Among the birthdays today, January 7th, 1800, Millard Fillmore. He was the 13th president. He was a Whig. That's not something that you wore. But Abraham Lincoln was also a Whig, and they were their predecessors of the Republican Party. Fillmore was one of the least effective presidents. He was one of the people in the presidency that didn't know how to deal with the business of slavery and the preeminence of the federal government. And I think he was involved in one of the compromises of 1850, which is one of the reasons has caused so much political dissension between the North and the South and led to the Civil War. One of the political fictions is that the American Civil War was over the issue of slavery. No, it wasn't. It was over the issue of states' rights and economic interests. Excuse me. And, of course, appropriately in San Francisco, we have a street called the Fillmore, named after Millard Fillmore. And also, there's the Fillmore, which was the rock palace where auditorium where people like Bill Graham not the one from North Carolina, but Bill Graham was a refugee of Jewish heritage from, Latvia or Lithuania. And he was quite the music, popular music, rock musician, impresario, excuse me. Also on this date, the first Jewish newspaper was published by a guy named Ebenezer Ben Judah. In 1873, one of the Hollywood rag merchants who started one of the people who started in Hollywood, like Samuel Goldfish, that was his name, of the Warshawski brothers. He really anglicized it to Warner Brothers, and of course Harry Cohn, Adolf Zucker. He was from Hungary, and like several other Hollywood producers and directors came from Central Europe. And a couple of them were gay, but they produced great films. And this is one of the another political fiction, bringing it into the California schools that the implication is because someone's gay that they're great. That has nothing to do with it. A lot of the great creative people in world history, some of them were gay. Peter Tchaikovsky, the Russian, studied law, was lousy at that, didn't like it, became a composer. He was gay. Michelangelo, the guy who designed the frescoes in St. Peter's Basilica, the world's largest church, and did David and a lot of other sculptures, he was gay. We had Aaron Copland, or Kaplan, American composer, wrote a lot of popular classical tunes. He used popular themes. He was gay. Leonard Bernstein, the great conductor of the New York Philharmonic and great pop writer. A lot of people didn't like his classical music. He was bisexual. We had quite a few musicians, and then the couple have died of AIDS. The conductor of the San Francisco Symphony, although not a great conductor, a very good one, very fine musician, Michael Tilson Thomas, or Thomas Michael Tilson Tomaszewski, he's gay, and he has his longtime partner, a fine musician. I wouldn't rank him. We wouldn't rank him with Fritz Langer, Beecham, Toscanini, Otto Klemper, or any of those people. Or Mengelberg, it's not their sexual preference, it's their native ability that makes them what they are. Among the other birthdays today are 1878, Bernadette Surbrus. She's a French peasant girl who Catholics believe the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to her at Lourdes. And she was given a hard time because the Catholic Church clergy is very suspicious of these apparitions. Very similar thing happened in Fatima in Portugal around World War I. Well, Bernadette got a hard time, but she proves that the apparitions were true. Lourdes in France is where a lot of sick people go to be cured. And one person who worked for the government, who was also involved in the Steve Nery U.S. Navy case helping us, Al Santoli, he had liver cancer or something, and he went to Lourdes and had some water sprinkled over him and supposedly had a miraculous cure. I'm going to check back with him on that. But there have been other people who have gone to Lourdes and also to Fatima and who have been cured of incurable diseases, and the doctors have no explanation for these miracles. Do you like Skippy peanut butter? Well, if you remember during the 50s, Art Baker, who had the program in black and white, you bet you asked for it in more ways than one. And, of course, Skippy Peanut Butter sponsored that program. Skippy Peanut Butter has been purchased by the Hormel Corporation, which has done a peddling in China, is what I'm told. Of course, you got a lot of peanuts over there. It's also the birthday of one of the Rothschild banking family, Alain de Rothschild. During World War II in France, the French Rothschild, he was not sent to a concentration camp, this banker, but he was under house arrest of sorts, from what I understand. We'll get into that another day. If you remember Gone with the Wind and the black servant girl with the pitch voice, Butterfly McQueen. She also got an Academy Award for this. So if you remember her little voice, Miss Scarlet, and then here's another movie guy who wrote this horrible book, The Exorcist, William Blatty, birthday today, and a controversial, and some people say she's got no talent, all looks and no brains, Katie Couric, who is now here in San Francisco on Channel 7. Among the deaths today, 1536, Catherine of Aragon, who was Henry I's wife, all her male children died in birth, and that's one of the reasons why he divorced her, because so she couldn't produce a male heir. She only produced Mary, who died of breast cancer after reigning for 5 years. Interesting. She died at age 32. That's the daughter. In 1537, one of the Medicis, they were the Italian bankers, he was assassinated. And, of course, this guy survived. It was never an attempt to assassinate him, but nor to try him as a war criminal. In 1889, Hirohito succeeded to become Emperor of Japan, the sun god and all of that. And it was Douglas MacArthur who prevented Hirohito from being tried with Tojo and all those other generals and admirals who were accused of being war criminals in World War II. Another great English actor died, great gravelly voice, Trevor Howard, died on this day. In 1558, now this is one of the reasons why we hear about Joan of Arc. She started to reclaim the French territory that the British claimed, the English claimed because of William the Conqueror. William the Conqueror came from France and landed in England claiming that he was going to be the new sovereign, and he defeated Harold at Hastings in 1066. But in 1558, Calais was retaken by the French, and of course, during World War II, the General Staff and Hitler always believed that the invasion by the Allies of Europe would not be at Normandy. They didn't even think of Normandy. It was going to be at Calais because that was a shorter distance across the channel. And, of course, if you've seen the movie The Longest Day, von Rundstedt, who was the commander in the West, Field Marshal von Rundstedt, he insisted that the invasion was going to be at Calais and that Normandy was a feint, and Hitler believed the same, and they kept their crack panzer tank units up there near Calais or in the back, ready to repel any Allied invasion that hit Calais. Here's an imposter who took over the seized the Russian throne, Boris Godunov, one of the great operas by Mussorgsky, who incidentally was also gay. But again, it wasn't the fact that he was gay, but he had great talent. And then getting back to the English monarchy in 1601, Essex, who was supposed to be one of the lovers of Queen Elizabeth, he committed treason and started a revolt against her, and he was later tried, sent to the Tower, tried, and beheaded. Still getting over this cold, folks. And among the other events today, and not that many, but one of the things we should start thinking about, well, people who get checks in the mail, and we've got a picture here on the web, that a lot, it hasn't been well publicized, but beginning in March, the government will no longer issue paper checks. I don't know how this affects the revenue of the U.S. Post Office, talking about revenue. We'll get into bicycles as untapped revenue. but you better prepare, and they're telling you, the banks are telling you, to set up various accounts so that you'll be able to get your money. Now, there are such things as currency exchanges. Now, they rip off people. They used to accept checks. The postman would deliver checks there for people who were financially unsophisticated. I don't know what they're going to do this time, but there won't be checks coming in. So if they're going to be setting up this giant email account for people to have their checks deposited to these currency exchanges, this is going to be very interesting in the ghettos. So be warned, it's coming. Now, among the among our agendas for our agenda for 2013, we think 2013 should be the year of accountability. Start holding reckless drivers accountable for driving recklessly and causing accidents. We witnessed one this morning where a San Francisco police car was rear-ended by a reckless driver. We'll put that up. We have some of the video. We have bicyclists who don't have liability insurance. They don't have license plates, a lot of them. They don't have safety lights and bells. Remember as a kid with your tricycle, those of you who had them, you had your little bell and you to warn people you're coming, get out of the way. In fact, kids were required to have more safety devices than these adults who have these bicycles, which kill people and injure people. I've been knocked down twice. My old lady's been seriously injured, cost her insurance company about $1,500 or more, and go to emergency plus pay the ambulance. Of course, you know, all the policyholders in that insurance company subsidize these unlicensed, uninsured bicyclists who have all this disposable money. It's a leisure class, and we'll put all these pictures up and videos how these people hang out at these latte shops, fancy restaurants, these boutique beer joints. They go to rock concerts, and they have a lot of disposable income. And some of them, not all, are into cocaine and some of the recreational drugs. And where do they get this money? It's money that they have because they don't have to buy liability insurance or license plates for their bicycle or pay parking. This is becoming a big issue here in California, where cities are, especially San Francisco, start ticketing on Sunday in residential areas where they install meters, where there were never meters before. Now there's a parking payment on Sunday, or you get a $65 ticket, yet the bicyclists, again, pay nothing. It's untapped revenue. And some people think it's the 1% we're not talking about and should be talking about. Now, getting back to Janet Hassan, who is the editor of the controversial Gannett paper in New York, there's a lot of outrage, and especially her and her paper's hypocrisy, where people have canceled subscriptions and also called up and made threats and displayed their indignation, anger, and rage for being exposed unnecessarily or put at risk. And what people are, these gun grabbers have not thought about is that there are law enforcement people who have to have guns at home, whether they're local, state, federal. There was an incident in Washington, D.C., where a Secret Service agent had a run-in with the locals about his guns, and Secret Service people are required to carry guns to protect the presidents and other government personnel. But also, think about this. Prison guards have to have guns, and they have to register them, of course. And now that these addresses of these prison guards, who among others will be published or have been published or they're threatening to publish, the gangs in the prisons, and there are gangs in the prisons, can now get that information to their outside members, gang members, and intimidate the cops, the prison guards, their family, their friends. This is totally reckless behavior. It's as bad as somebody not having insurance and driving drunk. This is a power play, and there are going to be consequences from this. So people need to think about that. There's one Illinois area, Deerfield, which is a wealthy area. I think they're thinking of banning banning publication of people who have registered guns and the addresses where these guns have been registered at. So that's something that everybody should be upset about because it's unnecessary. This is what I call political masturbation. Talking about Illinois. Illinois was the first state, contrary to the gay propaganda, that Stonewall was the first place where gay rights were demonstrated in a riot at the Stonewall Tavern, which was a mafia-owned tavern in, I think, the East Village in New York City. But that bar was shut down, or the New York ABC, Alcoholic Beverage Control Department, tried to shut it down because underage youth and prostitution was going on there. It was a mafia bar. And again, for people who don't know, New York is one of the states, or at the time was one of the states where you could an 18-year-old could drink. Quebec was the Canadian place, a province, not a state, was also allowed 18-year-old drinking, I think, for beer. And so what happened is kids from the neighboring states would go to New York to drink. Same thing happened in Illinois with Wisconsin, where the drinking age for beer was 18. And so Illinois kids and kids from surrounding states where the age requirement was 21, they would go to Wisconsin if they wanted to get some suds. Now, this is interesting. Illinois in 1963, I happened to be a student at the time, and I was apprenticing journalism and following cops around, was the first, Illinois was the first state to legalize homosexual relations between consenting adults. And one of the reasons this happened was because we happened to be, I was working with somebody who was working at a newspaper, and I was apprenticing with, and he was teaching me some things. We happened to witness a police raid on a bar in what is known as Chicago's Gold Coast. It's a near north side area where the Irish mob used to operate their liquor operations, illegal liquor operations in Prohibition. Anyway, a prominent politician's and state official's son was picked up in this raid on his gay party. He was brought down to the 18th precinct, which is the Chicago Avenue police precinct, for people who have been there and wonder about that police station. And he was put in a separate room, and his mother was calling. She was furious. She told her husband, who was mighty powerful, to do something, and so he sent the word down to Springfield, the state capital. The Democratic governor, I think, was either Skinner or Kerner at the time. And Illinois passed the first consenting sex homosexual relations with where consenting adults could engage privately in those type of relations. It was 1963-64, 4 years before this phony Stonewall. Now, Illinois is one of the recent states thinking of legalizing, or some politicians and advocates are thinking of legalizing gay lesbian marriage. Now, one of the reasons lawyers support gay marriage, again, like the bicycles, it's untapped revenue. The legal profession is in the tank, or is going in the tank, and actually has been in the tank. And a lot of students who go to law school, in the old days, in my day, it was like $35 an hour. Now it's about $125, $175, depending where you go. And they get out, and these law students get out, and even if they take the bar or pass the bar, some of them just keep passing, have this huge academic debt to pay and no jobs. And a lot of law firms are cutting back or merging or downsizing. And, you know, it's there's just too many lawyers out there, and people begin to realize that the country is over-lawyered. So I've been told, I'm no longer in the law firm, I'm retired, but I keep tabs on everything, excuse me, and I personally oppose gay lesbian marriage. I think keep the state out of it. If the churches want to do it, that's fine with me. Of the Church of the Burning Bush or whatever, the Anglican Church. The lawyers look at this as, hey, there's going to be marriage fees, there's going to be divorces, there's going to be probate and all of that. So this is why a lot of growing number of lawyers support this, and we're seeing law clerks and staff attorneys in the courts right up to the U.S. Supreme Court who support this political agenda. So that's where it's coming from. That's lawyers see gay marriage as untapped revenue. So it's quite interesting because some of these people also support the bicycle agenda where they pay for nothing and want everything. And then some. So we're going to put up our, it's an interesting little video of the cop that was rear-ended this morning. And there will be more on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas. My voice is going again. So we're going to end with our political theme, politics and poker. There seems to be, I should say politics and pork, it seems to be a lot of it that's been going on in Washington. They still haven't learned their lesson. So we'll be back Wednesday at 4 o'clock. Hopefully there'll be no errors. I hope we've got this new browser system worked out. And also we're going to have Patrick Butler and a few others, more interviews, and we'll be talking about more on the recent inmate of the California system who, as a youth, escaped John Gacy's grip. He would have been also one of those who have been would be dead, and part of those 33 kids, the young men who were brutally murdered and sexually abused by John Wayne Gacy. So he was a smart kid. anyway, we'll have more of an interview with him and about what goes on, really goes on in prisons, plus the work I did in Australia and New Zealand on pets in prison and a few other things. So when with politics and poker, our theme will be back Wednesday at 4 o'clock. Hopefully there'll be no problems.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the clown?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one, I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
where's the call of duck?
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Parrot raise.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try like a Vanyashinkovic. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Play for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Rubbing neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck!
But at our usual time, 4 o'clock, that'll also be Nixon's birthday, and we'll have some interesting things on Nixon. Good night.